When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree?
Welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mr. E. And I got rid of Jay tonight. And I replaced him with a tiger. Let's give a big Cryptids of the Corn welcome to Yehola Tiger from the War Cry Podcast. Woo!
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my bad. I thought there was a crowd. I heard it.
But I almost hit the button.
I wanted to go ahead and give myself a small cheer, I guess you could say.
Let's see if I can find it. Oh, gosh. I love what I have, but man, it's hard to find all the buttons. You talk for a minute.
What's going on, guys? My name is Yehola Tiger. I am the host of the War Cry Podcast. Oh, yeah, here we go.
The crowd finally worked their way in. So, yeah, sorry. You were saying host of the War Cry Podcast.
I'm the host of the War Cry Podcast. I am a member of the Cherokee Nation, but I also come from Muscogee Creek people. I come from Kiowa people, and I come from Cheyenne Arapaho people. So, but I'm born and raised Northeast Oklahoma. On the Cherokee Reservation, currently living in the Tulsa area, and that's me. Hi, I'm Yehola.
Yehola Tiger, and everybody at home knows I'm famous for mispronouncing names, and I think you should feel very special because I did tons and tons of quote unquote research to make sure I got the name right.
Like I said, it could have been worse. It could have been worse.
Yeah, we talked off air of some of the worst pronunciations of Yehola. I think I'm saying
I'm not
going
right. to put them people out there. I ain't going to put them. Yeah, you said it right, but I ain't going to put the people out there.
No, that, yeah, I get it. It just
I have butchered my name. Huh?
Yeah,
no, but, I would if I was petty. No, I'm just kidding.
But before we get rocking and rolling, and I want you to plug all your links here in a second, I want to give a big thank you to Bob. Bob is the one that suggested that we do this kind of thing. And Bob's been a longtime supporter. He's actually one of our like four first ever Patreon members kind of deal. You know what I mean? Like Bob's been on a Cryptids of the Corn page forever. But he also loves your guys' podcast or your podcast. And when I was asking for podcasts to start working with, you know, outside of our normal box, as far as the Ohio group, you know, the Ohio Indiana group, he highly suggested your show. So I just want to give a big thank you to Bob.
You know, Bob, I appreciate that, man. Because, you know, one thing about me, you know, and a lot about really the cryptid community sometimes, you know, I appreciate you, you know, getting us together and allowing me on a platform where I can share stories and maybe some knowledge. I said I'm not by any means an expert. There's elders out there who know more than me, but and there's a lot of people that know more than me, just my same age. But Bob, I appreciate you you linking the bridge for myself and Mr. E.
I forgot I was Mr. E there for a second. I don't hear that very often. But, you know, Bob's great. We love Bob to death. And Bob's, me and you were talking about him off air, just a B-movie horror guy like I am. And he's been a longtime supporter. So, just once again, thank you, Bob. Now, Yahola, if you could, make sure you tell everybody where to listen to the podcast, where to support you, how to get merch on all that fun stuff.
Perfect. Yeah. So you guys can find me on YouTube, Warcry Podcast. You'll see kind of a blue and orange with a white lettering, Warcry Podcast. TikTok, Warcry Pod. Facebook, Warcry Podcast is a page. And also, if you want to find me on Facebook, Yahola Tiger. All I'm going to say about my Facebook, y'all, it's my private Facebook. You know, I'm not really, you know, I really don't post a lot to it besides podcast stuff. But if you add me on Facebook, please send me a message. You know, one time I by accident added a bot, and I'm like, man, this person is wilding out on my dang timeline. I'm tired of seeing this. But add me, you know, if you add me on Facebook, please send me a message. Let me know where you heard me, and let me know that you're a listener, and I'll add you. And like I said, and that's a lot of how, you know, a lot of people send me stories about just anything, you know, from, you know, haunted prison to apartment, you know, a girlfriend that's haunted a guy past, you know, after she died, she was still haunting him, you know, because he wasn't doing right. No, but but go ahead. Like I said, follow me on those. And I'm trying to think of anything else, really. I mean, I have a Redbubble account. So if you go on redbubble.com, you type in Warcry Podcast, it'll pop right up. I got T-shirts. I got a Bigfoot scratch. You know, I got all types of stuff. Dogman. T-shirt, and then, you know, mug, stuff like that. So, I appreciate you going over there and supporting the podcast.
No, yeah, seriously, guys, support him. I cannot wait for this. So, I mean, just, I'm the worst interviewer ever. Anybody's listened to the show for, you know, we've been in this 3-something years. So just, I guess, kind of what got you started into the paranormal supernatural side of things?
Yeah, so as a young guy, growing up in Tahlequah, Oklahoma, you know, there's always a lot of stuff going on, and you know, my family, my grandpa was always, you know, he was always, you know, into, you know, some, you know, things where he knew people, and my dad, you know, had friends, and so there was always weird stuff going on, but one of the first times I'd say I really started asking questions is we used to live in this trailer park. It's as you come into Tahlequah, there's a casino across the way now. Dang, I know what you're thinking. You heard that casino, you started, some of y'all's mouths started watering, like, dang, I gotta get in there real quick. No, I'm just playing. But you know, but growing up in that trailer park, there was a lot of weird stuff going on. A lot of, you know, it could be weird stuff as in, you know, normal weird stuff, and then, you know, weird stuff, you know, in terms of the supernatural. But one of the first stories that I remember growing up, and I've told this story on the podcast, if you guys are listeners, but I'll tell it here for those who haven't heard it. One day I'm walking over to our buddy's house and his trailer, and he was always real mischievous. He's just a menace. Like, he just was annoying as hell. I had to beat him down a few times, man. He's just always doing stuff. And he would do a lot of messing around at our trailer at night. He'd knock on windows, or he'd, you know, crawl up underneath the trailer and do stuff. He just was always into stuff. And one night, or one day, we walked over there and we're all hanging out. He said, "Yeah, man, I went over to y'all's house last night, and I was trying to mess with y'all. And I looked up on the top of y'all's trailer. There was a man standing there with no face on the top of y'all's trailer. And I'm like, oh, you know, quit messing around." And he said, "No, man, I saw it." He said, "There was a man standing there. It was like a black shadow," but it's kind of how he described it. He couldn't see any features. Couldn't see what the guy was wearing. It just was a black shadow. And he said, "No, I'm serious. That was there." And so I might have been 6, 7. And yeah, that's why I started asking questions. And I've always been a real inquisitive person just in general. You know, it's the podcast, you know, I'm a conspiracy guy. I enjoy talking about those things. So I've always asked questions about things that don't really quite make sense to me. And, you know, my grandpa would always tell us these stories. And a lot of these stories, you know, some people could say that they're warning you of things and letting you know, hey, you know, maybe you shouldn't be doing that. And so he started telling us stories when we were real young. And I started asking those questions. And a story that first ever story that he had told me and my brother about a park. And this park is really a big part of my childhood. It's called Merle Home Park in Tahlequah, on Park Hill, really. But he lived down the street and from it. And so we'd walk down there, and it's a nice little creek. And it was when it was up, you know, it was kept up. It was real nice down there. You know, water's real nice. We get crawdads down there and, you know, mess around. But he was telling me, he said, you know, there was a boy, you know, a long time ago. He used to mess around. He used to sneak out. He used to not listen to his parents. And he snuck down to the Merle Home Park one night. And when he got down there, he saw a fire kind of off to the side of the creek. Because sometimes the creek would be real low. There wouldn't be hardly any water in it. And he said, and he went up, the kid walked over there. He saw a man, a real tall man, standing or sitting next to the fire. And he stood next to the man, and he said, "Hey, what are you doing down here?" He said, "Oh, no, I'm just down here hanging out, you know, just want to, you know, just trying to stay warm by the fire, you know, just kind of giving little talks, you know." And the boy started, you know, talking to the guy, you're just having, you know, miscellaneous conversation. And the guy goes, "Oh, well, I got to get this fire going again." Fire started getting real low. And the guy stood up. And the boy noticed, man, he's real tall. He's real tall. And he looked him up and he looked down. And when he looked at the man's feet, the man had hooves, his feet. And so those are the stories that I was told, a story that I was told as a child and as a young guy. And, you know, over the years, my grandpa's passed. He died. He passed away in 2021. And so I started the podcast not too long after that, and almost as kind of like a dedication almost, but also sometimes too for myself, because there's a lot of stories that he told me growing up that I really don't remember, but that's really kind of the start of, you know, how I, you know, kind of got into this spooky world, I guess you could say.
For how different our backgrounds are, they're very similar kind of deal. You know what I mean? That first off, the trailer, I grew up in a haunted house. Before that, I grew up in a trailer. And I mean, having that thing on top of your trailer, I mean, do you believe that, kid?
Well, I do, and I'll tell you why. And there's if you want me to go through the whole timeline, I mean,
no, it doesn't have. I just, because, you know, like that, you said the kid was always trying to screw with you.
Yeah, he was always messing around.
So, why, you know, is that a screw with you thing, or is he just like really like, oh, I was coming to screw with you that night, and there's already some guy there, so I left.
Yeah, well, so I'll give you a little bit more background, and I was kind of being broad, but so my, I've shared this on the podcast, but my grandmother, she passed away when I was a junior in high school. She got remarried to a medicine man who knew things. And there was a lot of bad blood between, you know, my uncles and my dad. And there was a lot of, you know, not really good feelings between them two. And, you know, he was doing a lot of stuff, I'll say. And he ended up going away. And he always told my grandma, "I'll never leave your boys alone. I'm here, but I'll never leave them alone. I'm always going to be around." And, you know, growing up, that was a lot of it. That was a lot of being messed with. And so I believe him, because at that time, that kind of stuff, I think, was kind of subsiding between them. You know, there's a story that I've told, but, I mean, it's kind of a personal, it's a real close family story, but my grandmother was trying to leave him, and she was getting across on the road trying to get away from him. And she was in the car, and she's driving, and all of a sudden the car starts sputtering, and she's like, "What?" And she opens up the hood, and there's a snake wrapped around the engine. So that's a lot of what reason why I believe that kid, because, you know, I would see growing up, I'd see look like faces in the window, but then you look back and there's nothing there. Sometimes at night I could see someone sitting in the corner of the house of our trailer that we lived in. I always used to think it was, you know, maybe my imagination. It could be, you know, but there's a lot of, you know, a lot of things like that that involve Native medicine that people try to, you know, I always say, hey, if you're into that, yo, I ain't want none of that. Y'all keep that over there. But, you know, but yeah. And so that's a lot of that, you know, a lot of that stuff that I was kind of thrown into a little bit, you know. And I tell my grandpa things, and, you know, things would kind of get, you know, taken care of, because, you know, when you're from Tahlequah and you know everybody, you know who's messing around, you know who's doing things. And with having family members who, you know, new things and new people that knew things, and you know, sometimes things kind of get taken care of a little bit
fast. I mean, it really is fascinating. Like I said, we have tons and tons of hours of stuff, but my great grandma was the one that I have no contact with. I mean, hopefully she's dead now, was a blood witch. And we carried into a haunted house, which we think was directly related to her. And it's like same kind of thing, like your uncle, you know, putting that, my grandpa, so her son ran away from her, and she kind of put that magic on him, and, you know, and it followed him and stuff like that. So with your grandpa, you know, sharing the stories and stuff like that, that's been, I think, with our success with the podcast, that has been my biggest regret. I've shared it on the podcast several times, is that my grandpa served in Vietnam, and he had a rock ape encounter. And we did a big special on rock apes and stuff like that.
Mm.
But before he passed, you know, our podcast had like 25 listeners, and he was kind of sick. He passed from cancer. So he was living with me and my wife at the time, and he was always super supportive. Everything I did, it didn't matter what it was. You know what I mean? He was always just like that kind of grandpa. And right before he got sick, we're like, well, you know, we're going to sit down and record with you. And then he passed away. So that was just kind of like his thing. He'd always tell you like, oh, I've never had a paranormal encounter, but, you know, whatever Justin says is, I believe it, you know, kind of deal. And then you'd sit down and talk to him, and he'd be like, I actually, now that you think about it, I've seen a UFO one time. Well, I had rock apes throw rocks at he drove oil tanker in Vietnam. So he had the big, like, three times the size of what we have semis on the road, throw rocks. But you made me think of that. But I don't know.
No, it's, go ahead. Yeah, it's amazing to have, you know, people who support you and, you know, I wish, I think about it all the time. I wish that he was around to, you know, that I could pick his brain on things. Because there's a lot of things that maybe I may not remember fully or I may not get right. And so I always have to ask, you know, maybe relative or somebody like that. And so, but yeah, I wish he's still around so he could, yeah, I was telling my dad, I said, yeah, we'd probably have like a 12-part special with him, just like 12 hours of just straight stories and why this happened and why that, you know. Because he was a record keeper. He was a storyteller and a record keeper. And what he would do is he would get stories out of Eufaula, out of Henrietta, out of Old Mulgee, or I'm trying to think of these small Hannah, you know, these small, really small Indian communities. And he had books, and it's crazy. He passed away, and about a couple months after he passed, and you know, I used to have I have vivid dreams, like I can. It's weird. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but I almost like I can see know what's going to happen, or, you know, I've finished people's sentences and they're like, how do you know what I'm going to say? It's just, it's weird. But I had a real vivid dream and I'm sitting under, I don't know where I was at. I didn't recognize the place, but it was real nice out. And I'm there with my uncles and my dad and he's laying there. Like, he used to lay a certain way on the couch and he was laying that way. And then he kind of flipped over on his stomach. He said, hey, you can have them. You need to find them. And this is right before, I got, you know, back into podcasting and trying to figure, you know, what I wanted to do. But he told me in that dream, he said, you can find them. They're there. You just got to look for them. And I just didn't, I just never really could figure that out. And then I realized it's the stories, you know. I started asking around. I started getting people's, hey, do you remember this story of this, and, oh, yeah, this is how it happened, and blah, blah, you know, people just kind of helped me remember. So, I don't know. Maybe it might have been him. Maybe it's just my subconscious. I don't know. It's definitely pretty interesting.
It's probably both, right?
Could be.
No, so, and I claim no heritage for anything. The grandpa that lived with me, that I was just talking about, his grandmother was full Cherokee. We have nothing left in Ohio. We have no Native American groups really, really left in our part of Ohio. And the only really, like, you talk about story keepers and stuff like that, we've kind of lost a lot of that in the Midwest. You know what I mean? One of our last ones is a, like, three great cousin of mine named Doyle. So Doyle, if you're listening to this, thank you for all you do, because he keeps everything from, like, we have Flint Ridge here in Ohio and stuff like that. He's the kind of last guy keeping track of some of that old knowledge or those old, you know, that stuff. We don't have anything really left. But you're preserving a lot of, you know, with your podcast, you're bringing some of that forward and preserving it. You know, it's a whole different thing. These encounters, this lifestyle, this it dies with people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know it does, for sure. It, like, you know, I'm not traditional like a lot of people are. I'm almost kind of keeping to myself, and I practice how I practice, and I guess really storytelling and collecting stories is how I contribute to my culture, and you know, and a few other things that I do on the that I do and have done in professional work that I've done, but that's one thing that when people, like, a lot of people, there's some people, I'm not gonna say a lot of people, let me rephrase that, some people, you know, who are come from that older generation, and, you know, I'm talking about Native people or however you want to call them, Indians, whatever you want to say, and how you feel like being, you know, you or be, you know, the term, but, you know, they really don't like the recording of the stories, you know, and they don't, some of them don't. And, you know, it's crazy. I've had people tell me, you know, over the past couple of years, oh, you know, are practicing bad medicine, or you're practicing bad medicine, talking about this or talking about that. And in my head, I almost get a little discouraged, because I'm like, man, I don't, you know, maybe I shouldn't be saying these things. And I catch myself in episodes. If you hear me say the word stuff or things, That means I ain't trying to talk about it. You know, I ain't trying to go down that rabbit hole, but also at the same time, I'm 30 years old. I'm a younger generation that, like, we've had a computer screen in front of us, or, a phone. Like, that's a lot of our, growing up is the computer age. Like, my generation, I'm not sure how you are, if you're a millennial or whatever,
generation. We're the same age, just so you know.
Okay. But, that something was brought up to me that we're the last generation to have life skills and computer skills in the same block. You know, I hear, I was a teacher at one point in my life and had dealings with schools and I worked at nonprofits and things like that, where the only thing these kids are getting is computer skills. They're not getting life skills anymore in school. But we got health, or we got like health. We got, we had a lot of these like life skills. Like, we even had a class called life skills. We had humanity, we had the baking and the cooking and, what I'm saying?
100%.
And so that was brought up to me this past week, and I started thinking, I said, well, these kids nowadays, some of them are learning how to do hair and, HVAC and stuff like that. That is happening. It's not saying it's dead, but in school, they're not doing that no more. To what I've seen, and the generation before us did have computers. They had life skills. They didn't, computers weren't around when they were in elementary school, the generation before us. They had life skills. Crazy.
Yeah, my mom would talk about home ec. And it's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that's where I come from in this, where I'm a young guy. I can manage a phone. I can handle a computer just fine. And I have older people that share stories. Like, there's a guy out of Canada who shares stories with me. He's an older guy. He has shared so much knowledge and so many stories with me about these different entities and these different beings that go bump in the night here in Oklahoma and in Canada. I got an older guy who, not older guy, he's a little older than me, but he's older than me, but he shares stories from the Ojibwe tribe up in Canada. And, there's just different people that share different things. And I think the older generation is coming around to understanding, like, hey, the young kids are not, they're not sitting down to a storytelling unless you make them. Like, I've been a part of multiple storytellings with my family and, in different aspects and different events. And it's kind of hard to get them kids to sit down and pay attention to what these elders are telling you. Like, hey, this is what's going on. This is a story about it. This is how maybe you can ward this off. But I noticed that, this younger generation, the kids under, I guess it was the kids under 25. Mm-hmm. They don't, it's not, they want to get it on TikTok. They want it in 60 seconds, and it's no disrespect to them, but,
no, but
it's just different, I'm saying? Everything is kind of coming together.
Yeah. That it has to be, that stuff. And we've talked about this with Bigfoot and, folklores from all around the world, not folklores, but, all the other side of it, that it can be lost in a generation so easily due to those things, where if you cannot connect with the youth of your generation, it's gone. You know what I mean? We have nothing left to really hear in my part of the Midwest, which is, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, where our tribal legends, all, the Native American legends here are reduced to some museum stuff. We don't have that. You go north and you go south, you still have things. Like, we have a cabin in Michigan in Clare County, which I can't even pronounce. The quote-unquote preserve there. But there's a strong Native American presence there. In my part of Ohio, there's nothing left.
Yeah, it's and that's a lot of the reason why I do the podcast, because Bob hearing me on my podcast and listening to your podcast, now that's shared, those stories that I may have told a year ago are being shared, and people from your platform are listening, people from another, it's it's cool that we have made it this far, and it's cool. And, you know, there's a few native podcasts out there, you know, that, that talk about things. And I just appreciate that, you know, that first of all, that I was given the knowledge and the stories, and, you know, it's just, it's cool for sure.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
But yeah, so preserving some of these stories, that's one of the probably my favorite things. When we started the podcast, you know, it was kind of a, I don't know, I wouldn't say a joke or nothing like that, but, you know, we were doing it for fun. And what quickly became evident was preserving stories in our areas. You know, I've shared it on our podcast several times already of the older gentleman that's pretty high up in our community that shared about, I don't know about corn in your area in Oklahoma, but in Northwest Ohio, a bad ear of corn is 6 foot tall, and a good ear of corn can be up to 10 foot tall.
Wow.
And he shared harvesting corn at night, seeing, in his words, keep in mind this guy's in his 90s, a black man, you know, standing up and running through the cornfield. What freaked him out is he could see the shoulders and head of this guy running, you know, super fast through this cornfield. But he told me and Jay this, you know, we're kind of known locally as the Bigfoot guys. And I'm like, do you think it could have been Bigfoot? And he's like, oh, no, it had to be a black guy. And so you think Shaq was out there running around? Like, there's not very many super massive black guys in the world. And you think one of them was running around a cornfield in Northwest Ohio at midnight? But that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
That kind of stuff gets saved through these podcasts. In the intro, you heard, you know, it kept going and going. That's Greg, a good friend of ours. I've known that guy my whole life. I never knew he had a Bigfoot encounter until we started doing the podcast. And he told me one day, and he's like, you know, I had a Bigfoot encounter. You know, that's pretty much all he would say. So we're like, well, why don't you come on and share it down the, you know, share on the show? He lives, you know, at that point, he lived 5 houses down the road. And he did. He was really nervous about it. And we, you know, we kind of pulled it out of him. After that, Greg is like going to be, he's going to be at our Bigfoot Festival. Greg is a super Bigfoot guy. He's got Bigfoot statues in his yard and all, you know, completely different personality change. Once you shared it, you know, kind of deal. And once he realized the community is absolutely massive, because he comes to Bigfoot Festival with us sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And at least for our podcast, I think you have probably a similar feeling, is that the preserving is a great feeling. Because when you get somebody, or even if you have to secondhand tell it, like I did with the one story with the cornfield, it's out there forever now. You know, it's not going to die with that man. It's at least on the radio waves, and I think you're doing an amazing job with that as well.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, you know, I get stories from all over the place, and you know, it's just, it's to me, I'm not saying I put myself out there like I'm out, you know, all the time and going to these different things and different events, because I, you know, I got, you know, kids, you know, it's just a different game, but you know, but it's really cool when, you know, someone will send you a message and say, hey, man, I heard this story. I heard your story about this. Well, I had seen something like that. And I'm like, man, that's, you know, just the other day I had a gentleman who I used to, when I was a activities director for a recreation center in Glenpool, Oklahoma, big outside of Bigsby, Oklahoma. And, you know, I'd go in there and play basketball after I got off and, you know, got off work. And, you know, he had reached out to me. He said, hey, man, I didn't know this was you, but this, you know, you got a you have a podcast? And I was like, yeah, man. And I was like, I've been listening to you this whole time, didn't know it was you. And I'm like, dang. It's like, golly, I'm out here just anonymous, just out here, just a voice, just whispering the wind, I guess. But he goes, yeah, man, but I got this story out of Preston. And him and his buddy were traveling to, I think, to work, I believe, early in the morning. And, you know, he looks over. Sun's just hitting where he could, you know, start kind of see out into this field. And he saw this Bigfoot. It was like a, he says like 10 foot tall is what he thinks. But it had its back turned. And one detail that I haven't ever really heard anyone say much about Bigfoot is that this creature didn't have a neck.
Mm-hmm.
Like it didn't have, like he said, it turned with its shoulders. Like it kind of turned with the shoulder. Like it didn't, like, you know, look back, you know, with its neck. It looked like with its shoulders. Like it turned, and he said that was the detail that I remember. It was the fact that I could see his shoulders. I saw the back of its head. He said that I saw, you know, the whole base of the whole butt part of it. And he said, but it didn't have no neck. It was weird. I thought that was weird. And so I was like, man, that's a detail that you don't really hear very. I don't hear very often is people describing Bigfoot with no neck. So I was like, that's interesting.
You hear that a lot. So I seen a Bigfoot when I was 16, and I still didn't believe in Bigfoot for another 3 years, kind of deal. You know what I mean? That because I was getting ready to go to school to be a biologist. You know, that was my whole career track, and biologists don't believe in Bigfoot was my understanding, and that quickly changed. You know, I specialized in endangered species and stuff like that, and you can have endangered species hiding in plain sight, kind of deals, but. The one I seen, that's why I described it as like football player shoulder pads. You know, just no, not really a neck. It went from like these giant, like I guess traps to head.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that's, I mean, I just have never, when people tell me their Bigfoot stories, I've never heard them say like, hey, yeah, like this is the only thing I remember.
That's weird.
But it had no neck.
So in the north, you have a lot more of that.
Okay.
But it's interesting. It's one of those, at least from what we found, you know, doing the show and researching and all this stuff, is that a lot of our Midwest and Northern, because we're Ohio, where I live, is kind of on that borderline from the Northern states to the Midwest states, where they have, like, a lot of people describe them as wearing, like, shoulder pads almost. When you see a football player silhouette, you just see a head sitting on top of a body kind of deal. No, it's very interesting.
Yeah, and like I said, it's just I have never heard that. Like I've had people tell me stories about, and look, so I was dating this girl in college, and I went to Northeastern State University in Tahlequah, and I was dating this girl who lived out kind of by Briggs. Like you're headed out to Briggs, America. If anybody out there knows where Briggs is at, but she lived up on this hill, and her driveway. It was a weird driveway because it was like a windy driveway up a mountainside. I don't know if it's a mountain, but it's like a big old hill. And as you get kind of headed, like you're headed to Stillwell, it gets like that, or in that area of Tahlequah. And I'm driving up this hill, and you know, first time I've been out here, and I get to her garage, and the lights on, like all the lights outside are on, and you know, she's like, hey, please text me before you get here. Like when you're going up the driveway, before you go into the driveway, text me. And I, you know, okay, I got you. Me not thinking anything about it. I'm just, you know, driving, you know, just trying to get, you know, get to my girl's house. And she's like, waiting for me. Like she's waiting for me at inside the door. And I pull in, I'm all nonchalant, you know, I'm a cool guy. I'm in my early 20s, you know. And she's like, get in the house right now. And I'm like, what? I'm like, what is going on? Like, I'm thinking, I'm like, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Arcadia with Nicolas Cage that just came out this year, where those things come out at night. Well, I think it's a good movie. It was a fun watch, but these monsters come out at night. And I'm thinking, I'm like, what is she on me about? And so I go in the house. She's like, why are you? She's like, I told you to text me. And I'm like, wow, I'm not understanding why. And so we go up upstairs and I meet her mom and all this stuff. And it's, you know, it's in the wintertime, so it gets dark at like 5 o'clock here in Oklahoma. And she's like, hey, I just want to, you know, I want to tell you this. I don't think you're going to believe me, but, you know, I want to tell you this anyway. And she said basically one night she was laying in the, and this is, you know, this had happened multiple times. But in her bedroom, when this is creepy, like, I don't understand why you have a bedroom window this big. But it was like a, it was like one of those front picturesque windows, but it was in her bedroom. And you could see directly up. It was so big. The window was so big that you could see directly up the hill, up this rocky hillside. And one day she was, it was getting dark, and she was telling me, she's like, yeah, I've kind of fallen asleep for like an afternoon nap, and I woke up. And I saw a black guy standing behind this tree. And then she's like, it was just dark enough to where I couldn't see any outlines. And I looked at her, I said, you're in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. There ain't going to be no black guy out in the middle of this. And she lived in the middle of nowhere, like middle of the forest. Like there's no, like there's one road in, one road out of her house. And I'm just like, I don't, that doesn't sound right to me. And she goes, but it kept peeking at me. And I, the only thing I could see was it's the whites of the eyes. Like, you know, like if, you know, when the eyes are moving, you know, you can see kind of, you know, whites of an eye. And so she got all spooked out and she was like real and acting real nervous. And so she was like, I just wanted to, I wanted you to text me so I could tell you to park like right next to the door. And so you can just walk right in. And but I parked all the way down. Like as soon as you drive, park it like where everyone's cars are, I parked in the last spot, man. So it's like halfway down. It's like, you know, a quarter of the way down the driveway, and I'm, you know, not thinking anything about it. You know, like I said, I'm trying to be a cool guy. And she's like, yeah, that's why I wanted you to park all the way up here so you didn't walk and something get you. Because her sister's boyfriend one time was walking in and did the same thing. He did it multiple times, but he always heard something behind him, but he always looked and there'd be nothing there. And one of the times he said he felt like something was coming fast, but it was like quiet. It was like, it'd be like if a cricket was jumping on like leaves. And her sister's boyfriend was, you know, walking in, and literally he said, I swear to you, he's like, there was something behind me, but it was so dark outside because there's no lights. There's like no, at the time there was no outside lights. They ended up putting outside lights when I was, you know, messing with her. But something had followed him all the way up to the door and was going to snatch him up, I think. And that's what they thought. And he was like, what? And he didn't believe it either. And so she was seeing this figure or whatever this was. I mean, Bigfoot is what I think it was, but she never really told me what it was. And I stayed over there one night, one time, and I got the creeps out there because they had like a little patio. And they're, like I said, they were rich. I'm going to be honest with you. They had a lot of money. And her dad was originally from L.A., and so he made a lot of money out in L.A. and moved to Oklahoma back in, like, the 80s and basically bought this beautiful house. Well, her dad ended up passing, and so the house – or the, he got sick. He ended up passing here in the last couple of years, but he got sick. And so the house, all the different, like, rooms of the house started kind of to become storage, basically. And so we'd walk through the house and go up these spiral staircases up to the quote unquote game room where there's all these video games and like pool. And there's a little balcony that goes that circles the entire, it's almost like a treehouse is what it kind of came across to me. But we walked up there and I said, do y'all ever see anything out here when you are out here? They're like, no, we stick to the side that has lights. And I'm like, and like I said, I'm in my early 20s. I know about Bigfoot. Like, I know Bigfoot. I know exactly what, you know, what's going on with it. And I'm just sitting here because I'm trying to get information. I don't want to like spook them out. Like, oh, hey, I know all these stories, you know, or hey, I know, you know, I, this was what it could be. I just kind of was, you know, just trying to get information. But the boyfriend, her sister's boyfriend would always get followed. And like the last time that he was a knucklehead and just walked down, like walked from the kind of the middle, the quarter way of the driveway, something almost got him. Like he said he could hear the footsteps behind him. And as he opened and closed the door, he looked back and he thought he saw a shadow going back into the darkness. And I'm getting goosebumps telling this, but because there's a lot of details of that to me asking. But her mom said, yeah, I think they're just messing around. Because her mom was kind of a hoarder a little bit, I'll say. I think, because there was a lot of stuff everywhere, like just random boxes of stuff. And, you know, but she had a bunch of stuff and they had a really beautiful home. Like the part that they lived in was really beautiful, like really nice. And so her mom was like, yeah, you know, there might be some things out here. I don't really know. We've lived out here forever and we hadn't really seen anything. But the only time that I ever thought I heard something or maybe been around something was that night when I went back out to my car and I heard something basically pacing me. So the door, as you come in, like the door faces out to the driveway and it's a big circle drive and everyone's cars are parked on the kind of in the grass, kind of all the way up to the garage. And my car was parked all the way in the last. And so I started getting kind of spooked out. Like my spidey senses was going. I was like, oh, something's out here. I can feel it. And so I step out and she's like, okay, well, do you want me to walk you? I said, no, just watch. And then, and if you hear me, you know, running back, you know, it's me. Let me in. So she waited and it was her sister and her boyfriend. And I ended up running down and I'm like fumbling my keys and I could hear something out there. I don't know. Like I said, it could have been a deer. Could have been something else, but I could hear something pacing me and I'm like, oh God. So I'm getting in the car. Oh God. So I end up making it and getting out of there. But anytime that was like one of the things that I did with her is like, I only spent the night one time. And because I got there later in the night and I said, man, I'm not going back out there. Like, I mean, I can't describe to you the darkness it was out there. Like it was because the trees are blocking the moon. And she always would tell me every time she came, I'd come over. Every time I come over, that she's like, I just want you to get here before dark and then park your car as close as you can. And so I only stayed over there one time, but I'd been down there a few times at dark. You know, we'd watch Survivor or whatever we were watching at the time. There's a lot going on in Tahlequah. You know, I talked about Merle Home Park earlier. When I was in college, I was still living with my parents at the time. I might have been like a sophomore or junior in college. And my grandpa always would tell me, don't mess around down there at night. And, you know, we're like, I think it might have been Halloween or something. It was close to Halloween. It was pretty dark, pretty early, and it was really chilly that night, real cold. And we're walking around in this trail. Merle Home has a big trail system. Allegedly, the reason why they closed it down is there was too many suicides out there. Now, I don't know if you need to beep that word, but people were unaliving themselves, I guess you could say,
out there.
And so we were, and the park was closed at the time. It had been fully closed, Like you couldn't go in there morning, noon, or night. But we still went out there and every time that we'd have it would be like a police officer, basically. They would come and shine the light in the car and there's nobody in there. But we'd be waiting. We'd be trying to kind of like hide it from the cops. But this night we went around the trails and I got a real sense of kind of like I said, spidey sense. And we were walking around. I said, we don't need to go this way. And they're like, why? We usually go this way. So I don't really feel it. The lights aren't really that bright out here. The moon's not out very much. And so I was like, all right, let's head out. But I'm kind of a menace sometimes. I'm a little petty. I could be petty sometimes. And so I'm with all these non-natives, and I said, you know what? I'm gonna freak them out. Hmm. So there was a story that my grandpa told about him, or he had a cousin or relative of ours. I can't remember really how it went, but basically they were out there hooting. And, you know, if you're native, you know you're not supposed to be hooting at night in a place that's haunted. Because Merle Home Park has the name Merle Home is different now, but it's a house that's haunted. Like it's on record haunted that park is named after. And it's just right next to the park. And you know... Every native listens to this. You know you're not supposed to be hooting or whistling at night. That's a known thing. And so he would tell me that story, and I'm like, man, you know, I'd love to just freak these non-natives out, because I know I'm a tough, you know, I know these things. I don't get scared that often. And so we crossed the bridge, and we just crossed the bridge, and I'm kind of the first one headed to the car, and I stopped, and they're all like, what? And I said, do you hear that? And I started hooting. I hooted the first time. And they all start going, hey, man. Because I told them the story before. And they were like, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Hey, let's go. Let's go. And they're all getting nervous. And I'm like, I'm kind of like laughing to myself. Like, oh, yeah, I'm about to get them. I hoot the second time. And they're all like, hey, man, all right, let's cut it out. Let's go. And so they all start kind of headed back, you know, towards the car. And I hoot a third time. And I don't remember. It's almost like my fight or flight or something hit me. It felt like my memory was wiped. I don't remember anything after that hoot. But really the only thing that I remember is this sound of this roar. I can't describe the roar, but I remember hearing it and then blacking. Like, I don't remember anything after that. Like, I was just, like, I was wiped. And next thing I remember, we're in the car, and we're already in Muskogee. I don't remember any of that. Now, my friend said, oh, you were acting normal. Like, you weren't. But my mind was, like, gone. And so what, you know, that's why I always say I was a knucklehead. But, and so my mind was wiped. And so I. Did you say something? I thought I heard you. I was trying to. I lost my train of thought when you. I thought you said something.
Sorry, my bad. No, I just was saying that you were like on autopilot until you came to realization.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry. I was like, I thought you said something. I was like, well, what did he say?
My bad. I should just.
No, you're good. I'm glad that the. But I'm glad you said that. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. And, you know, I started asking my friends. I'm like, hey, man, what was that? And my buddy who was in the front seat he was like, man, he's like, I don't know what that was. He said, dude, but it was like a roar. He said, it was like a lion. It was like deeper than that. It was like bigger than that. And the funny part of this story is that I was with two boys who were 6'6", almost 400 pounds. These are some big boys. They not moving that fast. But they were in the back closest to this where this thing roared. They get to the car first. Out of all these people, they was gone. They was like, I don't want no parts of that. But I started asking it, and I was like, man, what happened? I said, man, I don't know what happened. And so day, I really don't know what happened after that first. Like I said, I didn't hear the whole roar. I just heard the first, like, it was like a roar. And then it was getting big is kind of what I think, like, in my mind. And then, you know, I think it was going into like a more of like a roar, but it was like, I just heard the first part of that. And then my mind was like gone, autopilot. And so, you know, I started asking around. I asked my grandpa. I said, man, I said, hey, you know, I don't really remember this, but I heard this kind of roar thing. And, you know, natives, there's different names for this, I guess you could say Bigfoot or hairy man, tall man. I'm not going to say the Creek. I only know it in the Creek name, but I don't know it in the Cherokee name. But what it does is it has red eyes. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it takes a part of you. And I that's when I learned about that, or came to know what that being is. And it kind of makes you forget. It almost like it passes over you, and it, you know, makes you not understand what's going on. And so I asked my uncle a couple of years ago, and he said, yeah, he's like, that sounds like the ones that make you forget. And that's kind of what that name, means. Is it the ones that make you forget, I think, is what it's translated to. But you cross their path, you know, those are the ones that I think are taking people too. You know, I know missing 411 and all these different, different missing people, foundations, programs, especially out in those woods, you know, you just never know, but Tahlequah is such a weird place. You know, there's the Northeastern State University Seminary Hall is haunted. You know, I had a friend of mine, basically one night was walking to their car. They were coming from seminary at a night class, and they saw somebody darting in between the trees, like a shadow, basically. And they kept looking, that thing kept shadowing, and we got an app that at the time they were introducing an app, you know, to stop, you know, people from assaulting people, things like that. And so that, you know, they called, and there was no person out there with that person. So Seminary Hall, you know, one of the deans, they say he still roams the halls. He knocks on the doors to check on teachers, and there's nobody there. There was a janitor that I had heard when I was at school basically quit their job. Like, I'm out of here. I keep hearing somebody talking. There's nobody here. Or, like, someone would knock on the door as they're in the room cleaning or, you know, whatever. But yeah, Tahlequah, man, in that part, Kenwood is known for having some monkeys out there. People have seen monkeys out there. Burnt Cabin there's a story that I've read in a book from I can't remember the lady's name, but her name was Duval was the last name. But stories of the Cherokee people. Her son saw monkey people out there. But yeah, I mean, yeah, there's just so many avenues we can go, you know, with me in different things.
I think you left enough to show that your podcast is very much worth listening to. So everybody at home, I think you left about 80 tidbits of stuff there. But before we start wrapping it up, it sounds like we may have a similar opinion. But do you think there's more than one thing we call Bigfoot? Or do you think it's all the same thing? What are you thinking on Bigfoot?
You know, I've been asked this a few times. One thing I think, now, I've had people in my comments on YouTube say, why do you think Bigfoot's a type of people? And I always try to clarify when I'm on different podcasts. People hear certain episodes and they'll say, oh, well, you're saying that Bigfoot's a type of person. I don't know. But what my opinion is that I believe, and when I use the word tribe or clan, I think that there are clans of Bigfoot out there. I think that they operate as if in like a family home system, similar to like natives in the, you know, the 1500s and natives before first contact. And they operate like that. And that's my opinion. You know, us Cherokees, we call them like a secret tribe, the tribe that, you know, that is not, you know, not known, you know, to everybody. And much like native people, I believe that the Bigfoot, Sasquatch, it's the Chupco is the Creek name for them. You know, one thing that, you know, I believe is that they're similar to native people in terms of the knowledge. So I was in the first part of this episode, I mentioned medicine and or magic is kind of what the you know, the new age thing is called. And much like native people, not everyone's a medicine person. But I believe that they have the ability to do these things. So I'll use cloaking as an example. So I have a story from a gentleman out of North Carolina, or out of, I believe out of North Carolina. he lives off the Appalachian Trail, and he saw Bigfoot step over a fence and disappear after it hits the fence. Like, gone. He didn't blink. It disappeared. You know, I've heard people tell me that, somebody told a story one time on YouTube, or Hunter, and said he sat on a stump, but then he got up and he looked back and the stump wasn't there. There's these stories that go back hundreds of years about this medicine and this knowing of what's, I guess you could call, supernatural. And I believe that some Bigfoot know those techniques, know that medicine, know that magic. And that's why you get the cloaking. That's why you get possibly even the shape-shifting. Now, that's a whole different topic. There's a old Muskogee outlaw. I call him a law abiding citizen, in Chito Harjo, you know, he was on the run basically from federal agents back in the day, early 1900s. And he had told a story to all his snake gang, his Chito Harjo and the snake gang. He told all his guys in the gang, and he said, I know these things because they taught me. And they said, who? He said, Bigfoot taught me how to do these things. And what he would do is he'd turn into a stump. So those federal agents would be like, man, where's he at? We just saw him. And he'd be gone. They couldn't find him. You know, eventually they did find him, but, one very popular episode of mine is the Oklahoma Girl Scout murders. Yeah. That's a pretty touchy subject where I'm from up in the Northeast, but he was claimed to do medicine, and they had medicine, Harvey Pratt, who knew things. He went to people and to try to find this man because he was you couldn't get him. You know, allegedly they said that he could shapeshift. But getting back to Bigfoot, I say all that to say that I think they still know, some of them still know those things. You know, like in Native culture now, we have our beaters. We have our powwow dancers, we have stomp dancers. You know, we got storytellers. We have people who pass on the language. We have people that pass on, traditional wear. Beating. So I think that there are different types, but I also think that there are, and I say types in terms of, you know, I think, just like how people are, mm-hmm. You know, you're in a more place with more altitude, you're probably going to be a little bit bigger, you know, or if you're down in the swamps and there's hardly anything to eat, or you're having to hunt for your food all the time, you're probably going to be a little bit more thin and skinny, maybe a little bit more raggedy, you know, maybe stinking a little bit more because that hot heat, you know, here in Oklahoma, I've heard a mixture of different things. Like I mentioned before, but I'm being very long winded, but I hope that I've described, your question.
No, I think you nailed it. I really do. That they may be one thing with many different abilities. And like you said, regionally is highly dependent on what, whether it's food or shelter or anything like that that's available, will determine a lot of those extra factors.
Yeah, and like I said, it goes back, and there is a supernatural aspect, to them, and I know they can be sometimes, especially with the missing 411, they're the original story that got David Pilates to talk about this was that little boy that went missing, and the hiker said they saw him on the back of a bear, and I've heard stories. From people saying that they kind of helped them. Now, I wouldn't say they went out and like, hey, I carried you to safety, but you know, they nudged them maybe in the right direction. You know, I've also heard stories, of someone shooting them, and this story's out of Southern Oklahoma, but basically they ripped the head off a horse. Like the person, the oldest old man didn't know, just out there thinking someone's trying to steal his animals, shot at this thing, and it came back and killed everything.
If anybody wonders if you should shoot at a Bigfoot, listen to Cribs of Corn. I shot a Bigfoot episode. It never ends good. Not once. Not once did it end good.
And you know what's crazy about that too is like, it's always the old, it's like this old heads, like people that, oh, you're on my property. You 100%. Know, get off my lawn.
Shoot first, ask questions later.
It's like, buddy, you just shot at a possible 12-foot, you know, 1,000-pound animal or whatever, you know, whatever this is now. Now, I don't know if it's a people. There was an episode that I heard somewhere on podcast.
What's people, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. The flesh and blood thing, you know, I don't know if I subscribe to that completely, but I think that the mainstream is now understanding that like this thing is probably out here. You know, why, yeah. You know, people can't describe what's happening when they see these 15-foot tall tree structures. You know, some of them looking like teepees with looking like somebody has a little bed in there. You know, there's been pictures floating around all over the place of, you know, these different tree structures that look like shelter. You know, there was a lady who had messaged me outside of Norman, Oklahoma, and this river this creek, really. I'm sorry if you need to end this. Like I said, I can keep going with all these stories, man. But I'll tell this one real quick. But one day her and her friends went out there, and they was out there kind of drinking around, messing around. I think her buddy was or whatever, but they was out there being young, and she looked down and she thought she saw a footprint, but the footprint looked like, she said it kind of looked like if someone stepped barefoot, but then another foot was stepped in, like making the foot longer, basically. And she looked at, she said, I don't know what that is, man. That might be Bigfoot. So they get out of there, and all of a sudden they see, she thinks she sees little people, basically kind of ushering them out of there, you know, for whatever reason. And she said that I asked her when, I said, what do they look like when they're running by you? And she said, well, they look like, you know, little like humans, but they were running and they were hopping. She said it was weird. And she thinks that because none of her friend didn't see it. Like her and her friend saw it, but the other friend didn't see anything. And she asked me, she's like, well, do you think that maybe they're trying to tell us? And I said, yeah, I think they were trying to tell you to get out of there because that thing was maybe coming for you. You know, because little people do help. People always say, oh, you know, they make you lost or they get you, your mind scrambled. But 50-50. They help too.
50-50.
Yeah, it's 50. Yeah, they do sometimes do good. But she said that.
They do about just as much good as they do bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like I said, I've heard some pretty grisly stories about them, but just creepiness. But basically, so that she saw them, and then so they get in the car, and they go back, you know, sometime later, and she said that, she could see off kind of on the other side of the creek where there's no houses, that there was a structure out there. And so she was thinking maybe that, you know, that creek was real. She said the creek was kind of high too. So maybe the, you know, fish got in there and they were trying to hunt or whatever. But she said she saw a structure out there and she took pictures of it. And what's crazy about this, what got this, the story makes this story more crazy is the fact that she took this picture. She saw it. She put it away. She changed phones. You know, she had it on her phone for a long time. And then when she went to upgrade her phone, she put the phone away in a drawer where nobody goes into it. Well, she went to grab something. She goes, well, let me see if I can find that picture of this structure. She opens up the drawer and there's no phone there. And she told me that. I said, you probably took a picture of something, you know, wasn't supposed to. Cause I've heard, I call them LP, but little people, they do those things to try to keep you, you know, maybe, you know, safe or whatever. But she said that literally a couple years later, she opened up that drawer again, and that phone was in there. So,
after it was wiped, crazy. Right? After it was clean.
Well, I'm sorry.
After it was wiped clean,
she couldn't. I never followed up with her about that, but I need to ask her about that.
I'm gonna assume.
She used to send me stories about different things, you know, cemeteries and stuff like that. But well, that's how
the little people are. the hidden tribe. But Yohola, if you can, please tell everybody where they can find your stuff once again. And once again, everybody at home, I'll put the links in the description below. But Yohola, please go ahead.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you having me on. And you guys can find me on TikTok, Warcry Pod. I have a lot of short stories. If you want to hear an individual story, go there. You know, I Facebook, Warcry Podcast, or Yohola Tiger. Send me a message. Let me know where you heard me from, and then I'll accept it. But I'm always going to ask you a question because I'm good like that. But then YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, basically anywhere where you can find a podcast, type in Warcry Podcast, and it'll lead you that way.
Now, Yohola, thank you for coming on. Like I said, this has been a pleasure. When you interview another podcaster, it's so much easier because I literally, I think, said 25 words this whole episode for an hour and 10 minutes, which is my favorite thing. I've just been listening. I kind of forgot I was supposed to do things.
Man, I'm not going to lie. I'm a one-man show, so like I can talk, man.
I mean, you're a great podcaster. That's what you're supposed to do. So, like I said, it's kind of some of my favorites because you're not pulling teeth out of somebody, you know what I mean? But here how we end up Crimson Corn Podcast is I'm going to count down from three. Me and you are both going to scream bye into the microphone, and then the outro will play. Are you ready?
Ready.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Bye!
Bye!
Hey guys, thank you for listening to Cribs of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye!